Hello and welcome to PharmaLex Talks podcast. Today I'm speaking with Louise E. Arata about inspection readiness for sites. In other words, how to plan ahead so your site documents and records are correct and indeed up to date, and your facility and processes are compliant and ready for inspection at any given time. Louise is a manager and consultant at PharmaLex, where she is responsible for dealing with clients' queries and problems and supporting resolution in an effective and timely manner, ensuring all documentation prepared to support in line with standards as set down by relevant legal and regulatory bodies. Louise has more than 20 years of experience as a quality professional in microbiology, quality control, and quality assurance roles in the pharmaceutical industry. Obviously, inspections are an area of concern for the pharmaceutical industry, and no doubt amongst that for any facility. Louise, is there any particular area where the site's inspections is particularly on the spotlight at the moment?
So thank you for the introduction, Elizabeth, and for the question. So inspection readiness really impacts all facilities. However, with the progression we're seeing in advanced therapy medicinal products offering groundbreaking new opportunities to treat diseases, there now seems to be a greater focus on startup cell and gene therapy facilities. So inspection readiness is very, very important for these startups, as one, they may not have a large volume of personnel, and secondly, the personnel they have may not have inspection experience to aid with the preparations. It's really about helping any company understand and plan ahead to ensure that their site systems, documents, and records are correct and accurate, and that the facility and processes are always in a state of readiness.
Thank you, Louise. Are there practical steps they can take in terms of audit surveillance before an audit, Louise?
Definitely, Elizabeth, you know, we always hear that facilities should always be in a state of inspection readiness. Companies who have an ongoing review and evaluation and improvements of their quality units will always be inspection ready. However, we are aware this isn't always possible. So if your facility has the luxury of advance notice of an inspection, the first step that I would recommend for that company is to make sure that they fully understand the scope and purpose of the inspection. Understand why your company is actually having that inspection. Is it a for cause inspection, which has been triggered when an agency has cause to believe that there are quality problems that may have resulted from maybe a product complaint or an adverse event, or perhaps data that has been submitted to the agency as part of an application may indicate that there is a potential problem with the product quality, and now the agency would like to investigate that further? Or perhaps you're having a prior approval inspection where the agency want to understand if the named establishment on the application is actually capable of manufacturing that drug. Or it could be just your routine GMP inspection, but understanding that scope and purpose will really help your company narrow down what preparation is needed.
Thank you for that, Louise. And for our listeners, perhaps you could explain what you mean by the scope of preparation and indeed what is involved.
Certainly, Elizabeth. So by that, I mean you really need to know the purpose of your inspection. By knowing that purpose of why you are being inspected, it will help you determine in advance the types of documents your facility needs to review and prepare. Another good tool for preparation is to go to the regulator's website and review the recent warning letters that they have issued against similar companies to your own. Or sometimes the regulators will prepare updates from forums they have presented at, where current trends in inspections are highlighted. Both of these can give your company good insight into the pattern of non-conformances and non-remediations that regulators are citing to. These will aid you in doing comparative analysis against your site and the agency's expectations. Understanding the scope and purpose, along with a bit of surveillance work, will help you review potential problems and areas of weaknesses to look out for within your own company and allow you to really start focusing on your inspection strategy and documents for preparation. Another really good tool that's out there at the moment is something like the FDA website, for example, where they contain some very, very useful guides which can be used, such as what should I expect during an inspection, as well as inspection guides that provide information as to what the inspectors will be looking for when they come to inspect your area. Also, if you happen to work in a network of sites within a company, it is really in your own interest to maintain good lines of communication with those other sites and share your inspection experiences to support each other's preparations. Often when an inspector discovers a discrepancy at one site, they will look for that same discrepancy at another sister site.
Louise, you mentioned previous warning letters and trends can be useful sources of preparation. Can you offer examples of the types of warning letters that are being seen, perhaps from ATMP facilities?
Oh, definitely. I suppose the most recent one that comes to mind is where the FDA issued a warning letter, Elizabeth, for a cell and gene therapy facility, where they noted failure of the facility to establish written procedures for production and process controls. So the firm were cited for not validating their manufacturing process with respect to identity, strength, quality and purity. The same company also got cited for failure for having an inadequate monitoring system in their aseptic processing area to prevent contamination and mix-ups. Here they failed to perform environmental monitoring of the aseptic processing area in association with the production run, even though their procedure specifically had instructions to do so.
Thank you, Louise. Really great examples. There's obviously a learning curve for such facilities. Perhaps you could take us through the key steps manufacturers should undertake with regards to document preparation.
Certainly. So once you understand the scope and the purpose of your facility's inspections, you can put together documents you anticipate the inspector may request. Examples here would be your equipment qualification packs, your method validation protocols and reports, along with any documentation the auditor may have requested in advance of your inspection. So requested documentation from the inspector generally include lists of change controls, deviations, laboratory out of specifications, and open investigations. It is really, really important that a thorough review of these documents are performed in advance of your inspection and that the site have a position for any item remaining open at the time of the audit. It is also vital that interim controls be documented and open items risk assessed for their impact to patient safety. All documentation requires a thorough review to ensure they are in compliance with GDP and in alignment with the Alcoa Plus data integrity principles. So depending on the scope of your audit, the inspector may be comparing previously submitted documents to the current version that's available on your site. Any documents that are perhaps stored in off-site archive areas should also be returned to your site in advance of the audit for ease of handling and for a thorough review to be undertaken. As part of the site documentation preparation, another recommendation is that the site also prepare storyboards for any of your identified known issues, particularly if they are going to be difficult and complex to explain and could lead to confusion and contradiction during the inspection.
Louise, that's very helpful suggestion. Thank you. Can you give our listeners an idea of what is meant by a storyboard and when it would be useful to develop one?
Yes, a storyboard is a very useful tool during an inspection. It is usually a 2 to 3 page summary or often a PowerPoint presentation that enables your subject matter expert to develop a factual, concise and accurate explanation of an event dealing with why it occurs or maybe how it was remediated. So an example of where storyboards would be good is if your company had a very complex laboratory investigation or a piece of critical equipment that was under qualification ran into issues as part of that qualification. Storyboards can act as high-level responses to questions on complex topics that otherwise would lead to additional questioning from an inspector. They are also used as a useful guide for the SME who is presenting this issue to the inspector, as the information is laid out in a concise and factual manner.
Thank you, Louise. That's a really great description. Obviously, preparing for an inspection can be, you know, very daunting. Can you talk us through the benefits of mentoring and coaching for site inspection preparation?
Yes, mentoring and coaching of personnel is absolutely vital, in particular for personnel who are not experienced in inspections. It provides personnel a safe environment to rehearse, present their procedures, their job tasks, and if applicable, their storyboards, where explanatory open-ended questions can be asked of them. The more time that is afforded to this aspect of inspection preparedness, the sharper and the more competent your personnel will become at presenting and answering these rigorous questions. For companies where some personnel have no direct inspection experience, a site self-inspection program is an example of a good training opportunity where you can practice and develop your inspection approach. This time can be used to mentor and coach these inexperienced personnel through role play, asking questions, and providing them constructive feedback.
Great advice. Thank you, Louise. Let's talk about mock inspections. What should these involve, and when would you advise carrying these out?
Yeah, Elizabeth, mock inspections are a great tool for determining the site's gaps in compliance with current regulations. And it's an opportunity to take a hats on, hats off approach, where an individual can play the role of an inspector and then give the site and personnel real time feedback. Mock inspections should really be performed in advance of your inspection to afford the site time to remedy any issues identified or put controls in place for any items that can't be remediated before the inspection. It also allows you to evaluate your personnel's response to rigorous questioning and see how responsive your site is at locating documents likely to be reviewed by the inspector. Ideally, your mock inspector should be external from the company, someone who doesn't know your processes, as they are more likely to ask probing questions of your personnel.
Thank you again, Louise. Could we turn now to the audit format, or what will happen on the day of the audit?
Yeah, so on the day of the audit, it will all start with you welcoming the inspector to your site. And then we have what we call the opening meeting. And this opening meeting includes your senior representatives from all your site departments. The opening meeting would generally include an overview presentation of the site, giving a brief history, the products that are manufactured on site, an organogram overview, all accreditation to date that the site has received, key quality system processes and supporting utility overviews. And then at the end of the presentation, you know, you would try to agree the agenda for the first day of the audit with the inspector, including timelines for scheduled breaks and what kind of feedback mechanism you and the inspector are going to use. So then once the audit is complete, it ends with what we call a closeout meeting. And again, key personnel are present at this meeting. Ideally, it would be really good to include any individual who has spent a considerable amount of time with the inspector during the audit in this closeout meeting as well, so that they can hear the feedback firsthand. During the closeout meeting, the inspector will go through a summary of the findings and clarify any findings or observations for the site. It is really important here at the end of this meeting that the site defines the timelines for the draft report, the final report, and for the responding to that final report. And again, once the inspection is over, it's important to really start into your inspection follow-ups. Review your site notes to identify any action requirements. Start preparing your draft action plans and programs, including timeframes. All this can be done in advance of receiving that final report, because once that final report comes, there should be no surprises.
Great advice, Louise. You definitely don't want any surprises. With that in mind, do you have any recommended do's and don'ts for inspection readiness?
Absolutely. I think do's and don'ts are invaluable, especially for inexperienced personnel. I'll start with the do's. It's very straightforward. Always be polite, accurate, friendly, and responsive. Seek to establish a trusting, cooperative relationship with your inspector. Always check you understand the question before you answer it, and only answer the question asked. No more and no less. Only provide enough information to demonstrate that you are knowledgeable on the topic and to satisfy the inspector. And the most important thing is always communicate effectively. On the reverse of that, we have the don'ts. So I'll start off with, don't be defensive. Don't provide closed answers like yes and no. Don't have your inspector ask multiple times for a document or a particular subject matter expert to be brought in. This will antagonize the inspector. Don't blame anyone else. Try to avoid terminologies like, I don't know. Instead, use something like, oh, I need to refer to my colleagues in QC or engineering, or I will check with the subject matter expert and revert back to you. You know, please don't attempt to bluff an inspector. Don't be afraid to talk an inspector through a method or a procedure, but please refrain from reading the procedure verbatim. And don't display impatience with an inspector, even if they ask multiple times for an explanation. Remember, after all, they're not familiar with your systems and processes. The most important thing here is don't be intimidated. Remember, you know your processes better than anyone else. And the final bit of advice I'd like to offer the listeners today is don't be afraid of silences. This is key, especially for less experienced personnel who may think that these silences are because they've given an incorrect or an insufficient answer. Wait for the inspector to reinitiate the discussion.
Louise, thank you so much for sharing these really valuable thoughts on inspection readiness, which, as we know, is always an intimidating time for any pharmaceutical site. Thank you also to our listeners. I hope you take some valuable information from this episode and apply it in one way or another to your business. Pharmalex, part of Cencora, serves the pharma, biotech, medtech industries, guiding our clients through the entire product lifecycle, from early strategic planning, non-clinical and clinical, regulatory submission processes, and post-approval activities. Please make sure you subscribe so that you can join us for future Pharmalex Talks podcasts.